everybody, and welcome back to the Footy Casuals. It's been a while, we've been gone, but it's great to be back. Hello, Brian, how have you been?
I have actually been very busy, shocker, but now everything's gone. For those of you who don't know, I was in college getting my bachelor's degree, and I finally graduated. So I'm finally free for a little bit, at least. Summertime, I'm kind of excited because it gives me a lot of time to just chill and maybe, hopefully, get to record a lot of episodes.
Yeah, but man.
I've been very, very busy, but how about you?
I've been busy myself, but one thing that I said that even... I've been busy myself, but even if I had downtime, it just wouldn't be the same without you here, Brian. So obviously, we just held off for a bit, and then we're back. But yeah, like Brian said, he has officially graduated from uni. So congratulations to Brian on his success, on his degree. The man has worked crazy hard to the point where the man, all he had time for, it was to load up FC points every week, and that was all. I'm just kidding. I'm not trying to get this man canceled right now during the boycott EA movement.
Funny, but yeah. For those of you who don't know, I also work another job. So
my guy was busy.
I was very, very busy. Literally had zero life. But I'm back. It's all over, and now we get to focus.
It's all done, exactly. But yeah, so we are back. That's where we've been. A lot of crazy stuff has happened this season, which is crazy, but I mean, it happens. You know, we have your seasons where nothing happens, and then you have your seasons where everything happens. So it's been interesting. So actually, go ahead, Brian.
Oh, I was gonna say, I was like, yeah, and through this time that we've been gone, basically almost all leagues are complete, and we have seen a lot of the winners, which we will get to in a future episode, but yes. We also missed. And while we're currently still going through towards the end of the Champions League, so a lot of stuff has happened, and we will get to it all. A lot has happened.
Yes, exactly what he said. A ton of stuff has happened. We have so much. We could be here forever. We're going to ease into it with the UCL. The UCL is always a big one for next year, for every year. This is the last year where they have the group stages. So a lot of interesting developments happen this time around. But yeah, we do know the winners of some. We got to go through and see our reactions. We got to serve ourselves up some L's for some of our takes and some dubs for some of our takes. But yeah, so we will get to that soon. The only leagues I think that are not done yet is the Serie A. Every other league. Oh, well, La Liga is done, but everything's set. The top four is set and the bottom three are set. Oh, I think all that's left is I think there's like a team or two. I think... Sociedad, Betis, and Villarreal are fighting for like one of those three spots for the Europa and conference, but other than that, everything's set in stone, but everybody else is pretty much done. So but the Serie A one, there's a lot of stuff that can happen with that one, so that one actually might be worth waiting on,
literally. And that one can actually have a lot of implications
for
on
next season
and competitions for next year, which is going to be very interesting.
Yes, it is. But further ado, so first of all, before we start this, we had recorded this episode us reacting to the table like back in December, but we just both got really busy, and then I never uploaded it, and it just got really outdated, and I'm like, I'm not gonna upload this like a month later, so I just never put it up, sadly. But basically, we went through our tallies, and the way me and Brian did it was we awarded 1 point for getting, like, let's say you put someone to go through, but you didn't get the spot right, you'd get a point. But if you nailed it head on, you'd get 2 points. So it was very close. Brian edged me out by 1 point. He got 38.
No,
I got
shocker there.
37. Yeah, no, so. So Brian took that one.
A very young point.
Hey, I'll give you now. What happened was Copenhagen literally got you that dub because no one thought Copenhagen was gonna be second. Everyone was thinking Bayern. It was gonna be Bayern, Man U, and then Galatasaray, and then Copenhagen last. But I thought I'd mix it up a little bit because I know how much Clowns United are, you know? So I was like, you know what? Let me mix things up. But I didn't mix things up in the correct order because I put Galatasaray second and United third and then Copenhagen last, so I didn't get anything there. And then Brian got the Galatasaray on the nail, so he got the 2 points. That literally was a deciding factor, literally, on that one. But
and the funny thing is that, like, with my guesses, I was literally either, like, completely, like, spot on or completely, like, off, like, completely.
Yeah.
Like, everything I got was either, like, the people landed perfectly into those places or they were, like, nowhere near. So, and then versus yours, they were kind of all just, like, somewhere hits, somewhere misses. Mine was just, like, it's either all hits or all misses.
Exactly. But yeah, the group stage, obviously, Man United is going to Man United, and they got bottom. They were knocked out. Pretty crazy. Copenhagen, you know, everybody loves the Cinderella story. They didn't make it very far, but it was very exciting to see them get second, you know. United, I mean, I'm not surprised. I know I'm like a casual Liverpool supporter, but I know, like, the Man United hatred is there, but they're just awful. Yeah. So I'm not shocked by the fourth place spot. I just gave them a little more credit than I thought that they would do, you know. So,
yeah. But yeah. And at this time, they were on a very, very downward spiral. I mean, I guess you can say now
they kind of still really are. Changed,
but yeah, like at that moment, it was like peak rock bottom, and they're literally still like hitting the bottom. But I mean. They're gonna Man United gonna be who they are.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so that's that. And then for Group B, everybody knew Arsenal was gonna go through, kind of. Lons, it was up in the air between like Lons and PSV. Sevilla was very underwhelming. The same thing. It's so funny because they did this the year that they won the Europa League. They underperformed heavily all season long in the league, but they pulled it back by winning the Europa League and make it to the UCL, but this year their luck kind of ran out because they didn't get UCL, Europa League, and they got their act together too late and didn't even make any European competition. So so they were unlucky this time, so it happens.
Yeah, and I'm not going to lie, in that group, I feel like I expected a little bit more from Sevilla, but, I mean, they turned out, like, literally horrible.
Yeah, they were, like, doing really bad at this
had
point.
One of the worst, yeah, they could have had one of the worst, like, moments in the table. But
at this point, I think they were in the relegation zone, honestly, in La Liga. Yeah. If I'm not wrong, they were doing really bad.
And I think that's, like, one thing that me and you were talking about at the time, that we kind of felt that it was crazy that they were doing that bad.
Yeah, especially since they got back Sergio Ramos, you know, whom his boyhood club in Sevilla. I mean, he still kind of got it. I watched all the Real Madrid games. Every game that Sevilla played Madrid, Sergio Ramos was playing like prime Sergio Ramos. And I'm like, my guy, you're not supposed to play like that. But so I feel like he still got it. They just had some rough patches. They're doing a little better now, but we'll see. We'll probably see them next season. Well, the following season, we'll probably see them in the higher tables. But Now, for Group C, this one was kind of pretty obvious. I mean,
yeah, there was no shockers in this one. Madrid was taking it, and we knew Napoli would probably go second.
Yeah, exactly. The last one that was up in the air was the Braga, the Union Berlin. Union Berlin were a little unlucky. They had some games that they, because I think they were winning against Braga in one of these games, and I think they tied it at, like, last minute in one of these games. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure that's what happened. They either tied it last minute or they lost it last minute. And Union Berlin just had a lot of unlucky games go their way, and they kind of fell off a little bit because the UCL, you know, usually that's what happens when, like, one of these smaller clubs make the UCL. They make a great run in the league, and they kind of can't compete with both with the lack of squad depth, and that's kind of what happened with them, sadly.
The next group, I feel like that was actually one of the more interesting ones, like, shockingly, because I can, like, a testament for this one. I thought Benfica was going to get first, and they ended up, like,
they got third last day.
Every game, these guys were, like, when I tell you, these guys were, like, dreadful from the start. I think, like, their first game consisted of a red card. And whenever that happened and they lost, I was like, yeah, this is over. Like, there is no way they're going to end up first. And they ended up literally being in fourth place the whole entire time until the last game when they were able to go into third. And then, like, Inter too, at that moment, I kind of thought they were going to go first. But, hey, you were kind of spot on, and you said the La Liga was always dominant in these competitions, and it turns out that they are.
I know, but I guess I didn't have enough faith in Sociedad and I put Inter first. I just didn't think they had it in them, you know? But if you look at it, Sociedad started off hot and they faded really quick, you know? Like they were looking like they would get a UCL spot next season, but they faded really quickly. Like they fell off and then after this, they weren't the same. Come knockouts and then in the league, their form kind of suffered. So they did good, but then they didn't end off the best. But and then Inter actually after this result, I think they ended up doing better in the league themselves. And
And if I'm mistaken, I feel like this table was pretty close up until the end. I'm pretty sure they were literally like fighting for first and second. Well, like
They
obviously
were pretty
Benfica and
much.
Salzburg were obviously like out, but they were fighting for first and second, pretty much going back and forth.
For the most part, yeah, honestly. But yeah, that Benfica one was crazy. They literally won. They literally pulled it off at the last second. I think it was like the last, it was the extra time. They're playing Salzburg and they needed one more goal for the goal difference to go in their favor and they got it, which is crazy. But then they went down to the Europa League and they did nothing. So it wasn't a good season for Benfica. What's that?
I was like, yeah, and they literally did nothing over there. Like that's, and then even then, whenever they went to the Europa League, I low key thought, like, still in the back of my head, I was like, you know what? They'll turn it around, and maybe they can even win the Europa League. And nope, just for them to do the exact same thing they did in the Champions League and the Europa League, it was poor. I think it was just a bad, rough patch for them.
Yeah, it was a bad season for Benfica this year. They really fell off on crazy enough, but I feel like they always qualify for the Champions League knockout stage. So it was a surprise that they got knocked out of the UCL so soon, but yeah. But yeah, and then for Group E, I have a habit of I put too much stock in my Mexican players or the teams that I
You
support.
do put too much stock in it.
I
And you
know.
never learned your lesson, but you need to learn your lesson.
Don't worry. When we get to the La Liga one, you'll see. I took some L's from that one, but because of that. But I mean, to be fair, it wasn't that crazy because last year in the Europa League, Feyenoord beat Lazio, or like they got the better of them twice. So I thought they could have done it, but they just had they had bad streaks of games. They had a game against Lazio that they should have won, and then it just didn't turn out for them, you know. It wasn't for them. They didn't have the best season. I know that they want a cup, but they weren't good either in the Europa League, and it just wasn't it. Yeah, but Atletico and Lazio going through, not so crazy, honestly.
Yeah, I think this is one where I literally had like spot on. Like it was very obvious that Atletico was gonna win this group, and then I thought it was gonna be pretty obvious that Lazio was gonna go second, but then you started having doubts. But I kind of had a feeling that Feyenoord just didn't have enough, and obviously, poor Celtic, they were never gonna win anything. They were going to
No.
be bottom of the barrel in this group, unfortunately
They
for them.
pulled out a win at the end. I think it was against
Which is actually
Feyenoord.
which is actually surprising, and I think that's what ended up costing Feyenoord. Like
No,
just whenever
it
they were
was
going
already done,
through,
I think, at the end of the last game, but yeah.
but then that brings up the group of death. And who
Ooh.
would have thought that at the very top you would see Dortmund? Because I can tell you, for a matter of fact, it was not. Like that's a last place.
Yeah.
But I do want to shout out my smartness. I told you Newcastle was gonna be fourth, and you
It
decided to
was
take the group.
a
But
the
I
last
told
day,
you.
the last day, all these guys were swapping places. At one point, everyone was everywhere. At one point, Newcastle was first, Newcastle was second, Newcastle was third. There was so much movement in this last day, it was crazy. One moment this team is knocked out completely. Next moment they're playing UCL. Next moment they're playing Europa League. This group was literally. This was the last group of death. It literally didn't adjust this. It was crazy. It went down to the last game, and it could have been anyone. So I'm gonna give Newcastle some more props because it was close, man. They were so close, you know. And I feel like they had some unfortunate calls against PSG in one of the games. So I feel like they should have went through, but they probably would have gotten knocked out either way right away in the Europa League if they went through or the Champions League because their form dipped so badly.
Yeah, but once again, these are why we appreciate the groups of death, because they're literally always so back and forth. Like I can tell you right now, that whenever I was tuning into these games, these are the ones that I was always locked onto my eyes. Like, every single time I was watching one of these games, I was like, I have to pull up these instead, because you always knew it was going to be a fight. And like we said, who would have expected Dortmund to be first? Because I can tell you, I didn't.
I had them last.
PSG, but like at the time, they were literally like
they were trash.
Where I thought they were going to be fourth. Like there was a second where I thought they were going to be fourth. Then AC Milan too. I had a little bit higher expectations, but you know what? Like they ended up third, and that's just it's the craziness of the group of death. But hey, man, we appreciate it, and I'm kind of glad that it happened. I'm just very proud of myself for knowing that Newcastle wasn't going to be.
Oh, it was close, man. It was close.
I'm telling you, at that moment, I just knew that they weren't going to be able to handle, like, trying to stay up with a friend and then dealing with the Champions League. But
I don't know. I feel like, what's his name? I feel like Tonali's suspension really did them in, because he was really, like, a big piece for them. But unfortunately, but, yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised. At the time, Dortmund was doing horrible in the league, so I was there's no chance. No chance these guys make it through, but they pulled it out.
Hey, man, that's one of the things about doing bad in the league. Whenever you can whenever you can take your focus off of something like that and put it towards something else, you're like, you know what, we're doing bad in the league, but it would all turn around if we do good in the
Champions League, yeah.
Literally, like, it kind of even gives you, like, a little bit of push to do better, which, hey, it's turned out for them, and we will get to that soon.
Exactly. But, yeah. And then this next group is very boring. Everyone predicted this group.
Yeah.
All that happened was I got annoyed, because there was a couple times where I think Young Boys, I think every, yeah. I think a lot of these games, City was, what's the word I want to say? City was, City was like trailing a lot of these games, and then they'd pull it back. They would be down in the first half, and then they'd pull it back. So it was annoying seeing all these teams get a lead, and then it'd be for nothing. But everybody knew what the outcome of this group was going to be.
The thing that was more frustrating when watching these games was like you knew they were down by like two, but it was no sweat loss. Like we all knew the outcome of the game. Even if it was, like, against, like, Leipzig, like, there was no way they were going to end up losing. They were literally always going to win from the start. But I think what was sad was that Young Boys didn't perform. Big Uncle, they could have gotten a second, but no. They wanted to lose. But... No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, man. Freaking Young Boys.
It's kind of funny because I don't remember if we had Young Boys doing good or bad, but I think we had them bad.
We had them like it is now. There's no chance you would change the lineup around, you know? If you got this group wrong, then I don't know what to tell you, man. But there was no chance there was gonna be anything else. But yeah. All right. So I'm now moving into Group H, and then this one. So, it's funny because it came down close to the wire, but it was kind of frustrating. I mean, I don't want to be too biased, but I felt like Barcelona had some sketch calls. Playing against Porto, that Porto should have got the result, and it just didn't look like it was gonna head that way. But Barcelona, Porto going through. I'm not shocked by that. I had them swapped. I'm pretty sure, but that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Shakhtar, they got third. I was salty towards Royal Antwerp, but I don't care no more because none of my Mexicans play in that league anymore, but they ended up getting one win. I think the last game they got a win, I think.
Yeah.
They almost ended up with nothing. Hey, they got some money because this league is based off you get money for wins and draws, so they got some money.
Yeah, but I think this one was pretty basic. Like, we kind of knew it was going to be Barcelona, Porto, 1-2.
Shakhtar almost pulled it out, man. They almost did it.
They were like a game and a half away, but at the end of the day, we knew what was going to happen. I mean, were we really going to have Shakhtar going through? And it could be one of those things because the UCL is very unpredictable, but, like, now that these two clubs are pretty big, like, there was no way that they weren't going to go through no matter what.
You say that, but Shakhtar used to be them. They used to make every knockout stage, but not no more.
Yeah, but I do agree with you. I feel like Barcelona and Porto, they did get into some rough patches where Barcelona was getting a lot of, like, weird calls. And this is, I even have faith in Porto because I feel like these Portuguese clubs play very well in these competitions.
Yeah.
But, I mean, at the end, Barcelona's going to Barcelona their way through. And Porto got second, but it didn't matter. Did not matter.
Yeah, it didn't matter honestly at all, but yeah, so that was the group stage. So let's move into the knockout stage. So first of all, what we'll do is we will say who we've had going through, and then we'll talk through the game. So I will go first, and then we'll have Brian go next. All right, so Inter Atletico, 100%. I have a little bit of Spanish bias. Atletico is annoying. Atletico is the only team that handed Real Madrid a loss in La Liga, so I would have went with Atletico for sure. They went through, so I was right about that. I would have been right about that one. Dortmund, PSV, no chance. PSV gets past Dortmund. They're just not big of enough team to get through. So I would have got that one right as well. And then PSG, Sociedad. So at this point in time, Sociedad, I think their form had dipped drastically.
Yeah,
but
it did drop a lot.
I would have probably went Sociedad for the fact that they're La Liga, and we don't mess around with PSG around these parts, you know. So I would have probably went Sociedad, and I would have been wrong there. And then the next one, it would have been Napoli, Barcelona, and my hatred would have had me go towards Napoli.
Yep,
my hatred. Okay, he also says my hatred would have went Napoli, but my head would have went Barcelona because Napoli was so trash this year. They were so trash. There was no chance they were beating Barcelona. But obviously, my heart would have wanted Barcelona to get knocked out, but that didn't didn't happen. All right, Porto, Arsenal. Porto almost knocked out Arsenal. That would have been hilarious. It would have been so close, but of course, I would have went Arsenal because I'm not going to go Porto. Next one, we got Bayern and Lazio. Bayern, of course, super Bayern. You can't go against them. Lazio, I just didn't see them going through. I would have got that one right as well. Real Madrid, I'm not going against my boys in white. So, of course,
you
I would have them.
Gone Red Bulls?
No, sir. I wouldn't have gone Red Bulls at all.
Oh, my God. That's bad.
And then the last one, City and Copenhagen. Hey, Copenhagen scored two goals, man. Props to Copenhagen. Yeah. Thank you for coming. You got some money out of this. We know we'll see you next year because your league pretty much is your league is pretty much a farmers league. So we'll see you next year in the UCL. Good season, man. That's one to be happy about. If you're a fan of this club, you are happy with this run. But yeah. So out of all these games, the only ones I would have gotten wrong is the Sociedad one and the Napoli one. But other than that, the rest would have been pretty much right on my hand, like on my side. But go ahead, Brian. All
right. So with mine, I think I would have started off right away with Inter and with Atletico. I actually would have gone Inter at this moment.
Really?
I didn't really have that much faith. Well, I knew it was a toss-up because both of these teams are really, really good. But I kind of had a little bit more faith with Inter, and based on how they had been performing prior, like last season and everything, I thought they would just continue their run, but it didn't really work out. Then with the next game, PSV, I never thought they had a chance against Dortmund, although like something crazy could have happened. I just never thought that like that they're pretty much a smaller club compared to Dortmund, so I kind of just knew that they always had that. Also, with the PSG and the Real Sociedad, I always had faith in Mbappé. I never would have thought that. That one, I'm actually going to be like very honest. I actually, at the prior to like watching the UCL, I actually thought PSG was going to go super far. But, you know, I did think there was going to be an end. But in that case, I did think PSG was going to go through. With Barcelona and Napoli, once again, I do not have bias here. So I would have gone with Barcelona because I have the ball knowledge. Like, I knew what was going to happen. There was no chance Napoli was going to go through, and especially with their form at that time, their form was horrible, and they were even doing bad in the league, I believe.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, it was just, and at this moment in time, it was all up for Barcelona. They were actually having, like, a little streak of runs. A little bit of wins.
They were undefeated for a good streak of games.
Yeah. But then we jumped to Arsenal and Porto, and this is actually one where, like, I was literal toss-up. Like, my heart wanted to go Porto. But my head wanted to go Arsenal because, like, I just knew it was pretty obvious. And until the very, very end, Arsenal barely got a pull through.
Through pens, man. I'm pretty sure it was pens.
It was pens.
Yeah.
But I would have went Arsenal. But then the next game, Bayern Munich and Lazio, we all knew that Bayern Munich was going to go through. So I don't even need to like tell you anything otherwise. Because I knew they were going to go through. At this moment in stage, I thought Harry Kane was going to get his first UCL, but, or going to win a UCL, his first trophy. But you know what? That changed very quickly.
Still waiting on that one.
Then we go to Real Madrid and Leipzig. We all knew that Real Madrid was going to go through. This was never. This was literally the one that was like never going to change. And for a second, they actually put up a little bit of a fight, giving me a little bit of hope. But you know what? The UCL demons are never going to end. They're just going to stop.
Brian, why are you being a hater?
I'm not, but like, it's just like you see the team that's always at the top and you just want them to be bad. Like,
I get it.
Everybody knows that feeling. And we all know when it comes to the UCL, Real Madrid are like the three-headed dragon that everyone needs to slay to get there. So that's kind of just like the one team where it's like, you know what? It's like, maybe if it ends, like, or maybe if they lose, like, there will be a chance of something different. But then it would have went on to City, which we'll get to that now. Man City versus Copenhagen, we all knew Man City was going to go through. So literally wouldn't have mattered. Like, unless both of these teams lost, we would have had one of them probably winning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, so that's my predictions.
Yeah, so, that's funny that you said, hey, I don't blame you. Look. I, as a sports fan of the American sports leagues, all Americans that don't like the Yankees hate the Yankees because they have all those championships. So I get it. Everybody hates Real Madrid because they have all these UCLs and they're tired of them winning it. They're tired of them winning it every year, this and that. I get it. But as a Real Madrid fan, I want to apologize to absolutely nobody.
It's literally all about like perspective. Like if you're a fan of Real Madrid, you're gonna be so happy and you're not gonna care. But then exactly. I was like, if you're any other person, you're gonna want to lose. Same thing with like basketball. Is everyone hates the Lakers because they have so many championships. Like it's the same thing in every single sport. There's gonna be that one team
that has more than everything
successful that has a lot of hatred behind it because of the success, but they earned it. So. Gotta give him props.
Exactly. But yeah, so, okay, so moving on to the quarterfinals. And first one, Atletico and Dortmund. I did not have Dortmund going through. I would have went Atletico 100%. Ooh. It was crazy. Hey, they almost pulled it back, but Dortmund pulled it out of the bag. You know, it was very close, but they pulled it out. It was looking like Atletico was going to make the comeback and go through, but Dortmund held their ground and they won it. So, I was wrong. I would have been wrong on that one. And then this next one, I hate me some PSG and I hate me some Barcelona. But you know what? My hatred is strongest. My hatred is always strongest to Barcelona. So, I was here for that pack watch. You best believe we was smoking on that Barca pack. Especially with that Ousmane Dembele smoking on that pack as well, man. So, oh, it was hilarious. Oh, it was such a great leg. The banters, the back and forth. Dembele pretty much awoke for this leg, and then he went back to sleep because he didn't have the craziest season in Ligue 1, but he turned up against his former team, and he looked like he was enjoying it. But I had PSG. Yeah. I didn't know if they could do it, but they did it. All thanks to Araujo's stupidity there by causing that red card, which lost in the game. If Araujo doesn't do that, Barcelona goes through.
They win the game.
100%. Yep. 100%.
Literally.
But yeah.
And potentially have a Clásico in the final.
Yeah. The first time I think that would have ever happened, but he threw it. So all you Barca fans, you have your scapegoat.
The UCL for a reason.
Exactly. Exactly. The nerves got to him and he didn't know what to do and he chopped them down and that was that. But yeah, so I would have got that one right. And then Arsenal and Bayern. So I would have wanted Arsenal to go through because Arsenal's fans were talking so much crap about how give us Real Madrid, because all of two seasons of competing but not winning anything has made them really cocky, thinking they can take down anybody, anyone and anybody. So I was like, yeah, Give us Arsenal so we can give them a good whooping so they can see what they got going on. I saw so many combined 11s, and most of them would be Arsenal players, and I'm like, there's no chance where you think that majority of Arsenal's team is better than Real Madrid's team.
Yeah.
Unbiasedly, there's no chance.
Yeah.
There's no chance. So I was kind of hoping for that, but I would have went Bayern regardless. I didn't think it would have been so close, honestly. But that's because Bayern's form has been kind of up and down all season. All thanks to Brian's former favorite manager, Mr. Tuchel.
You gotta love that guy. Hey, he's gonna come back to Chelsea. And hey. We're gonna go down the drink.
Yeah, you guys are going down to the championship. there you go. Maybe you guys can win that championship. The championship. But yeah, that's for another one. So Brian will be back to cry about his woes in another video,
because
we have a lot to talk about that one. but yeah, I would have went Bayern. They went through. I would have been right on that one. And then lastly, of course, I'm not gonna not back my boys in white. I'm not gonna lie to you. I was very nervous. City is the only team that I would be worried to be facing in this tournament period. They are the ones that are, they are hard to break down, the hard to beat. So I was very nervous for the whole thing. I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't know what was going to happen. It just was very close. And then going into pens, and I don't know, Real Madrid don't have the best track record when it comes to pens in the UCL. I still have nightmares to that freaking penalty shootout against Bayern in 2013. So that's just me, but they got through, so I'm happy about that. And so Brian, your takes on your quarterfinal picks.
Okay, so with my first of the quarterfinal with Dortmund and with Atletico, surprisingly, I did actually would have had Dortmund going through, just because I prefer Dortmund over Atletico. Like, this is literally could have seen anything happening, but just because I like Dortmund a little bit more and they have some of my U.S. representatives, I would have gone with Dortmund, but that one would have gone a little bit based off of bias. But then with PSG and Barcelona, oh my god, this, when I tell you, this game actually like pissed me off. This is one of the games that genuinely got me mad, because I would have had Barcelona going through, and they would have gone through if it wasn't for the stupidity of Araujo and his poor decision making whenever trying to slide tackle somebody. Like, how, like, at that moment, I was actually so mad, because if he does not slide, like we mentioned earlier, they win that game, and they would probably be in the final, and they would probably have the best chance against either City or Real Madrid. But what did they do? They lost. And we can thank Mbappito for that, because he decided he wanted to do Mbappito stuff all of a sudden when they were down to 10 men. So, gotta hate him for that. But yeah, I would have had Barcelona going through. Then with Arsenal and with Bayern Munich, shocker, I actually would have had
Arsenal?
Bayern Munich going through.
Oh.
No, actually, I would have had Bayern Munich going through.
Oh, okay.
But with a lot of confidence. I didn't think this was going to be close. I thought it was going to be like a blowout.
Like last time?
I thought this was going to be a blowout, and I thought it was going to be close, because I thought this was when my heart was all Harry Kane going to win his first trophy. I had it in my heart. I knew this was going to happen, but we'll get to that soon. Real Madrid and Man City. I am not being biased. I swear. I had Man City going through, and I'll tell you why.
That's fine.
Because they literally had the confidence from last year. You're already the champ, so you're trying to do the double. And they're also doing very good in the league. So then whenever I came, or like whenever this game was happening and the first leg happened, I was like, you know what? I was like, this is like the best case scenario. They're like drawn, you know? And they're going to go to the second game. And then once, like, this is prior before, though. Like, I still had Man City going through. If it's not for Man City and their missed chances, like, when I tell you these guys missed, like, a good 40 opportunities, like, they should have won this game. And I'm not saying that in any biased way. There was, even you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. 100%.
They should have literally won the game. But if it wasn't because of all the sitters that they missed in this game, like, that's literally what cost them. They had so many sitters. Like, back-to-back-to-back sitters, even in, like, extra time.
Oh, yeah.
I've never once seen Real Madrid looked defeated once in my life. But they literally looked like they had not one little bit of heart left. Like, they looked like they were literally done. They looked dead, tired. Like, they literally had nothing left in the tank. But what did they do? They ended up winning in pens.
But yeah. Yeah. That's the crazy thing. That's funny because, man, when they scored that equalizer, I'm like, it's done. It's over. There's no chance. And then KDB missed the most clearest hitter of all time, and they just couldn't score nothing. And I was just shocked, man. But I don't know how.
Foden missed like two or three sitters too. Like,
they all kind of did, honestly. But yeah. It was crazy. I just couldn't believe it. But I thought for sure we were going to lose.
I think one of the crazier things that happened in this game was that actually Haaland got benched for Alvarez because literally
he was getting pocketed by Rudiger.
This dude, when I tell you, he did not do anything that entire game. My man was literally like taken completely out of the picture, so they had to sub in Julian Alvarez. And that was like, that itself was crazy. And I remember whenever it happened, everybody was just like, oh my god, like did Pep really just sub out Haaland like in this big game? But like, at that point, like, you couldn't even blame him. Dude was literally a ghost. He was not there, which was crazy. But I personally would have had Man City going through just because of, like, the possession that they have and how aggressive they play. And I just thought, like, at that time, I was just like, you know what? I was like, there's no way, like, Madrid will, like, they will make it. They obviously will keep it close. But I was just like, you know what? I was like, I feel like they're younger. That, like, they play with a little bit more, like, risk. So then I was like, you know what? I was like, they'll bang in a couple goals and they'll probably just, but it didn't happen that way.
Yeah, it was quite an interesting one, but I'm happy Real Madrid went through. So it was a close one.
To you, that was one of the best rounds, like, I think I've ever witnessed. Like, there was like the from the first game, the amount of like screamers that were had literally was like back to back screamers, like. You would see Valverde score a screamer. Then you would see, like, I forgot who else scored the other screamer from
KDB.
I think it was Foden.
Oh, Foden?
Yeah, somebody like that. But yeah, they were like trading goals. It was kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. But yeah, so moving on to the semi. So we got Dortmund and PSG. I'm sorry, Dortmund fans, Germany fans, Bundesliga fans. I, not to say I don't rate you guys besides Bayern, but I would have went with PSG. I thought for sure it was going to be PSG and Real Madrid in the final, and it was going to be Mbappe versus his next team versus, you know, it just looked like it was going to be set in stone, man. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
Everyone either thought it was going to be a Dortmund Bayern final, a repeat of the 2013 final, which Bayern won, or it was going to be Real Madrid PSG, the battle of Mbappe. But I don't think anybody saw Dortmund and Real Madrid in the final. I don't think they saw that one coming to fruition. Yeah. But yeah, I would win PSG, and PSG, obviously, they got destroyed, man. They could not respond. They didn't do nothing. Dortmund played a good game. They held them at bay, and then they got through. Props to Dortmund. They haven't been here in over 11 years. This is also Marco Reus's last season at the club, so if they win this, it'd be huge for him. And I know every non-Real Madrid fan is rooting for Dortmund for this final. And now obviously I'm getting ahead of myself, but Bayern and Real Madrid, of course I'm gonna root for my boys. So we'll talk about the controversy after Brian picks his picks, but yeah, we'll get into it after he picks his picks. But go ahead, Brian.
Okay, so with my picks, I also did not have Dortmund going through. I'm sorry, I thought Mbappe was going to be Mbappe, and he was going to pull out a performance just like the World Cup where dude seems invincible. But I will say, I have never seen somebody disappear so much from a tournament either. I think this UCL, like, Mbappe was, like, literally nowhere to be found. Like, yes, he did score a couple goals against Barcelona, but it was, like...
After they were down to 10 men, though.
Yeah, because they were literally, like, putting shambles, so, like, obviously he was going to cook at some point. Like, if he didn't, then I would literally be worried. But, like, he's always known for putting up these big performances in these big moments. But literally, this whole UCL, I think that dude was, like, a ghost. Like, if anything, Dembele was the one, like, kind of pushing them through and like getting them like all these goal scoring opportunities. But like, I have never like seen a game and just like not heard Mbappe, like from PSG.
Yeah.
But that's what it looked like. It looked like they had no attack. It looked like they were like literally in shambles. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to respond. And props to Dortmund, like we said. I mean, they had the answers and they were like very confident in their play. They knew eventually they were gonna have to sit back, and they did, and it worked. So props to them. But then with Bayern Munich and Real Madrid, once again, had the faith in Harry Kane. But no, I knew this game was gonna be Real Madrid. Like, there was no chance they were gonna win. And this is when I knew it was all over for my boy Harry Kane. I knew he was not gonna win no trophies. But you know what? Like, in my heart, they were still there. But it was pretty obvious Real Madrid was gonna win. However, it was pretty close. I will give it to them. They did put up somewhat of a fight, but hey, man, it happens.
Yeah, I'm not lying to you. Bayern don't really scare me anymore. That's because Real Madrid have been like beating them the last couple years. For the last decade,
yeah.
Real Madrid's been like pretty much winning every single like battle versus Bayern. But Bayern used to be like City, man. They used to make me worry. And then it's funny because they would get drawn with Bayern every year back in the day, and then they'd get through. Yeah. But that's just how it was. So
then now we get to talk about how Real Madrid robbed Bayern.
So, all right. So first of all, I want to lie to you. I was pissed because I'm like, they're gonna steal the effort that they put in to win this on this run, and they're gonna say corruption and this. Because when you're a fan, you're happy. You're like, I don't care. Say what you want to say. We're through. We won. It's done. But you don't want to win that way, because then everyone's saying all these things and they're going to like, they're going to take it away. They're going to like, they're not going to say as important or is it going to matter. So I was pissed. I'm like, they're going to say all this shit about us and whatnot. They're not going to take it seriously. But so the point here I'm trying to make is the referee messed up, man. So he messed up on his own. So when I first saw the graph, I didn't realize that the parts of your body, your arms, can't be considered towards offside because you can't use your arms. I didn't even know that. Because I was looking at it, I was like, he's onside, because I can see Rudiger's arm stretched out. But I didn't realize that the arm isn't part of it, because it makes sense, you can't use your arm. But it looked like just quite, they were offside, just barely, but they were offside. I know people were saying like that they didn't score, but I mean, they had an effect in the play. They were dragging players out of position. They were tracking back. So they for sure. So I know De Ligt and Kim and Jay for sure were like, were there. So they had to call it because it's offsides, because they were like part of the play. So to me, that for sure should have been offside, but the referee messed up by not letting it play out. Because if this plays out and Real Madrid stops his attack, it's not a problem because nobody scored. But, okay, I know I saw reports of people saying, like, that the defenders didn't really stop. Lunin stopped. He just stood there. I'll give you that maybe some of the defenders still were, like, trying a little bit. But you're always told in this sport, play the whistle. Play the whistle. Yeah. You're not supposed to play the ball. Play the whistle. I don't care if you say it's offside. I don't care if you say it's a handball. You play until the referee blows. And he blew right away.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you might not, like, be at 100%, but I didn't say they stopped completely, but they weren't at 100%. And Lunin, he literally didn't even dive. He just stood there and did nothing. So, it's tough because the referee messed up, genuinely, because he should have let the play build himself there. He should have let it build before, you know, like, calling it. And then they could have checked it or whatever if they ended up scoring or not, or if Madrid stopped the attack. But it just makes them look shady and looks bad. But it's just, it's unfortunate. But in my opinion, they were offside when they blew. The referee messed up by blowing too soon. But it's just tough to know because Real Madrid, they stopped playing. So we'll never know if it would have been a goal or not, 100%.
Yeah.
It's just a bit difficult for that reason, but I just find it funny because these guys were supposed to be known as the best referees in the world because they ref the World Cup final, and then this happens, and now they probably lost a lot of respect for this one. But it's tough,
and man. This is once again one of those moments where we keep literally in every single sport where we keep having like these refs kind of dictating the results of games. And like, yes, it could have been like way worse. Like, obviously he was in the wrong, but like, it's just like you never want to have the ref dictating a game. Like, there's just so much that could happen. Like, you literally just never know. Like, at best, it's best to always just let it play through. Like, literally, you play through, you watch it back. It wasn't a goal. Oh well, you turn it back. But if it was a goal, oh well, you let it play through. Now you know the result. Boom. Like, you have your result, and now you have all your credibility. But like, whenever you have these refs kind of like dictating these games, it even ruins the credibility for the team, like you're saying. Like, you don't want your team to win this way, and it discredits their win, like the way they were able to turn back a game and like flip it around. But like, I don't know, it just, there's literally like, once again, we just don't know how you fix the situation. Like, how, like, what more can you do? Like, you literally brought the best ref to come and ref these games, and even they got it in shambles. Like, what do we need to have like classes for these refs to take? Like, do they need to pass like a certain thing? Like, how do we get it to where it's fixed, to where we can start avoiding these problems? Because they're starting to get very annoying. Like, in these big important games, we're just seeing a lot of them get dictated by refs, which is very, very annoying.
Exactly, yes. Very frustrating in that sense that the referees need to be held accountable. I get that this guy's had good performances in the past, but he should let the play out, especially since Real Madrid's winner with Joselu, they played it out and let it play.
Yeah.
And they didn't do that here, so it looks bad. So, obviously,
too, I believe there was also a moment in the game too where, like, I think at the very, like, I think it was before half, where the ball had gone out of bounds, and like they kept, the ref played it through, where like there was two balls on the pitch at the same time, where like Gnabry and somebody else were like, I don't know if you remember, but they were both going for a ball, and then they turn around and realize that there's another ball on the pitch, and like Real Madrid almost scores, but Neuer has like some crazy save.
Yeah.
Like, even that got played through, and there was two balls on the pitch. Like, I don't know, I just don't see no consistency here. Like, either you do it all one and it's consistent and we at least know like the decision making behind it, or like what, but you can't just be having it go both ways. Like, I don't know.
Exactly. You gotta pick a side. You gotta pick a way. You either do it both teams, yeah, or you don't do it. So it's tough. It kind of sours it, you know, because a lot of people were saying all this stuff, you know. But I mean, it is what it is. I feel like it wasn't Real Madrid. It was for sure the referees' mistakes there. But
yeah.
Oh well.
But the one thing too I will mention is this is what also brings the topic of like buying refs and everything. Like, if we didn't have this, we wouldn't have that conversation. But thanks to like these dumb errors, this is why everyone thinks that, like, people buy refs and all this problem, and then we have that situation, which sucks. But, I mean, I feel like at this moment, anyways in time, Real Madrid had the momentum, so they would have won anyway.
Yeah.
And props to them, or props to Ancelotti bringing in Joselu, because that dude literally saved them.
Yeah, so actually it wasn't even his call. So suppose there's reports that his son was the one that gave him the idea to bring on Joselu, who literally made the difference there. Which is crazy. Mate, yeah, his
props to that guy.
Yeah, his son is crazy talented, and I know one day he's going to be a great coach. Right now he's just under Ancelotti, but he's done a lot of great things for the club itself. And but yeah, and it's funny because they literally got Joselu on a 500K loan for the 1.5 mil buy option. And remember, they never properly replaced Benzema, and yet they still pulled it out, you know, so it was pretty crazy, but they did it. They pulled it out against Super Bayern, and the final, obviously, is Dortmund versus Real Madrid. So, I got to ride with my boys. I got to ride with my boys for the 15th, man. We got to do it. Oh, man. We got to have Jude win this Champions League. We got to have all this stuff going down. But I'm excited. I'm not going to say I'm a discount Dortmund here, but I'm gonna say that I'm gonna rule them out, but it's, I don't know, I'm liking our chances at the moment. Just hope that they can pull it out and win it, but I feel like Madrid will pull it out, you know. What do you think?
So, unlike you, I will discount Bayern, or not Bayern,
Real Madrid,
Dortmund.
Oh, Dortmund,
no,
okay.
I will discount Dortmund, and I hope they end up like proving me wrong, but I doubt it. I'm just being a realist here, like,
And that's
once
fine.
again, like how I said at the very beginning, whenever you have this three-headed dragon that's like always at the top and they know how to win, you've seen it in every single game that they've come back. Like, you've seen it in the Man City game, you've seen it in the Bayern game. You literally just know how the outcome's always going to be. Once that one goal goes in, like, you know what's going to happen. If they go down, you know what's going to happen. Like, it's just, oh, it's, they're just meant for this moment. They're meant for this stage. They know how it goes. They're all prepared for it. Meanwhile, like, Bayern, or, I keep saying Bayern. Meanwhile, Dortmund, like, they are having this run, but, like, I feel like if one or two goals go in, they're just going to panic and it's going to be over. And I don't have as much faith in them as, like, being here already and, like, having this moment. Like, I feel like they're glad to be here, but, like, I very much think they could have lost a couple of games to, like, not be here. So it's just, like, I don't know. I just feel like it's just the obvious choice to go Madrid. I think we all feel that way. We think they're the better, bigger team. I don't think by the way that, I don't think the way that Dortmund plays is, like, this crazy way that they're going to put away Madrid unless they, like, park the bus. But even if they, like, they score and park the bus, we know Real Madrid's attack, and, like, we know what they got. And they're doing all this without somebody like Mbappe, like, which is crazy to even think about. So I obviously think Real Madrid are going to win it. But, I mean, for the lads, for Marco Reus, hopefully Dortmund win. But I doubt it.
Yeah.
But in my heart, I will be going for them, in my heart.
Yeah. A lot of people
and
are going
also,
for them.
My decision also goes a little bit in, like, in contrast of Alfonso here. It's me being a relative here. You kind of always got to go for the opposition of your family member. You can never really side with them. Like, that's just boring. You always got to hope for the opposite, so... There is obviously a little bit of bias there too. I think it's pretty obvious that they're still gonna win anyway.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens in the final. I don't know, man. It's gonna be an interesting one, and obviously we're gonna get to La Liga one soon. But it's looking like Mbappe's joining this next summer, and Toni Kroos unfortunately is gonna retire at his prime.
He is gonna retire, which is
I'm
actually
sad,
very
but yeah.
crazy. And I think, I'm not gonna lie, I think this will rally them even more to win this.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, I mean, I hope they do it. It'd be great to see Toni Kroos go out like that. In my opinion, honestly, what I want to do is, I want Toni Kroos to win the Ballon d'Or. He's not going to, but
yeah, he's not going.
He's
to.
Third as of now. He's third on the list.
Yeah.
If they win the UCL and he contributes to it, gets man of the match, scores, assists, is all that good stuff, and then he wins the Euros with Germany, he has a chance. But I don't know if he will. But I think that'd be a great way of sending him off. I'm sad he's going. It ruined my day. I was very upset all day.
Yeah.
I just barely got over it. I barely got over it. I don't know if I'll get over it, but I'm still upset about it. But it is what it is. We gotta just invest in the young guys and give them some chances and see how it goes. But
Yeah, but sad thing is like, he's going and there's literally no worry. Like, you guys are literally set for forever.
I know, but he was a one-of-a-kind kind of guy, man.
Yeah, he's just one of those guys where, like, you just kind of get sad because he was, like, such a legend for the club. And, like, he was just always there. And you kind of grew up with him, too. Like,
I did, man. 10
time,
years.
Like, yeah. We're at that age where, like, we're still kind of with them. So, like, when he was at Madrid, like, you kind of grew up with him. Literally been there for 10 years. Like, 10 years of your life that he was always there, which is kind of crazy to think about.
Yeah, no, I remember when they first signed him after the World Cup when they won it. And I was excited. $25 million for Toni Kroos, the steal of a century. Bayern, to this day, I don't know what it is with these German people, but they're disrespecting him so much. Like, I don't know, like, they let him go for so cheap because the upper heads at Bayern didn't value him and thought that he wasn't worth the money, and then he wanted to be on par with the other players, and obviously they didn't give him that, so they let him go for pretty much peanuts if you compare Toni Kroos to other players or what he could have been up to. But yeah, you know, and Real Madrid got him, and then he's just been a club legend. I love the guy. He's great. I'm sad to see him go, but I understand his reasoning. It's good to go out on top. You don't want people to say that you're washed or that you fell off. So
you don't want them to diminish your career because of how things are.
Exactly. And he's not down to sit on the bench, or he doesn't want to sit ride the bench, and he just doesn't want to deal with it. He'd rather just retire, and I respect him. I'll always respect someone that retires with their boyhood club or the club that they began their career with. I always think that's a good send off, but yeah.
At this moment in time, I'd like to shout out my boy Thiago Silva. Go back to your
justice. That's a good one right there. Yeah.
Legend for the club. And it's also sad to see him go, but I mean, age gets to you, and one of those things where it's just like kind of he's taking a different road than Tony Cruz, but I mean, at least you get to see him go back to his boyhood club, which is always awesome. Like, yes, he's not gonna go out at his peak, but you know what? Like, he's getting to do it where he wanted, where he started, now where he gets to end it there, which is great. And hopefully, he comes back to Chelsea for a role. I know he's mentioned that he really wants to come back, and that he's gonna come back in a different role, because that dude literally brought like so much heart to the, he literally brought like so much love to Chelsea, which was like amazing. And he's kind of one of those players too where even I fell in love with. He wasn't there for the longest, but it literally felt like he was there for forever. So
yeah,
that's when you know they make a really big impact, when they're not there for that long, but they literally feel like they're there for ages. So shout out to him, and shout out to Tony Cruz for the legendary career. Yep.
Exactly. Yeah, Brian's right. I think that's the perfect career right there. So start up for your boyhood club, go out and conquer Europe one way or another, you know, go league to league. You know, he played for some big clubs, you know. I mean, he played for AC Milan, he played for PSG, and then he played for Chelsea. So he played for some pretty big clubs, you know. So he was everywhere, you know. So and he is ending it off by going back to his boyhood club. So I think that's a perfect way to end your career, you know. He's not going like these other guys, the MLS route or the Saudi league. He's doing it right, and I respect him for it. Thiago Silva used to be one of my favorite players back in the day. I always wanted him to go, to, you know, to Real Madrid or something like that. He never did, obviously. He was at PSG forever, and then when they didn't want him anymore, Chelsea scooped him up, and he's been there for the last couple of years. But I've always been a huge fan of Thiago Silva as a player himself. But yeah, so I'm sure he'll be there for another year or two, because he's like pretty up in age. So I'm sure he'll be there for one more year or two, and then he's probably gonna hang up his boots. Shout out to him. Yeah, his what is it called? His farewell tour.
Yeah.
His farewell tour in Brazil. So yeah. But yeah, that is our UCL breakdown. Predictions and all that good stuff. Like I said, there's a lot of stuff coming up. We gotta go through all the stuff we went through, and then I want to do this thing with you, Brian. I don't want to do it before. I want to do a really like a way too early Prem prediction for next season.
Yeah,
I want to do that. I want to do that like day zero. Like they're not even in preseason yet. And then as the season gets closer, we'll do a legit one. I want to do that, and then we'll see if our takes age well or not. Like, how we feel, like, if we change anything. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, no, I'm changing this here to here. But there's a lot of stuff going on. You know, we got the Copa America that's in the U.S., you know, which is exciting. This is a big opportunity for these teams that normally wouldn't play in it. So we got to take advantage and hopefully try and win it. We got the Copa America, we got the Euros, and then afterwards we have the Olympics. So there's a lot of stuff going on. So our schedules are pretty much clear, so we should be back to bring you guys this here content. Like I said, we're gonna shoot for weekly podcasts. It just depends. It depends what happens, or if we get busy or not, but the goal was always weekly, if not weekly, bi-weekly, and if not monthly. And but yeah, we try, we do our best, but there's a lot of stuff going on. We got the transfer window also opening up. Mbappe, I mean, it's pretty much obvious he's going to Real Madrid. It'd be shocked if not,
Yeah.
but Mbappe
Shocker.
signing, yeah, right,
Going to
shocker.
test the Arsenal.
I mean, I would hope not. I mean, I've already seen the clips where they asked him if he wants to go to Arsenal or Tottenham. He's like, it's impossible. It's impossible. But yeah.
I remember seeing that joke where they asked him, they're like, yeah, that you're gonna go to Arsenal, and then he just said that no, basically, I'll just like, dude, that's like the
Yeah.
most hilarious thing ever.
I know, right? Because usually they're like, oh, I don't know. But he was
Yeah,
just straight up like,
we'll see.
no.
We'll see where it turns
He
out,
was just straight up
right?
like, no. Like,
Yeah.
no chance, bro. No chance. But, yeah, there's like I said, there's a lot of stuff going on. Like I just said, all that stuff, it'll probably keep us busy all summer long if we don't have anything going on. But yeah.
And hopefully this time we can even pre-record some videos so we can post them out even if we don't get time.
Exactly. There you go. That's the attitude. But yeah, thank you guys once again for tuning back into another podcast episode. We've been gone for a while, but we are back. And thank you for having us and listening to us once more. Once again. One last time before we head out, be sure if you're on the YouTubes or anything, be sure to give Brian his congratulations. Congratulations once again to Brian for his for his
I appreciate it, bro.
uni graduation. And yeah, so it's only up from here, and then we'll see how everything goes. And but yeah, thank you guys for tuning in, and we will see you guys in the next recording.
Up the blues.
Of the blues.